Are you ready, Flyer fans? It's the Anthony Grant Show, presented by Bud Light. Tonight's show is brought to you by Frickers. For over 30 years has been the home of fun, food, sports, and spirits. Bud Light, America's favorite light lager. Premier Health, proud to be the official healthcare provider for UD Athletics. Learn more at premierhealth.com/sportsmed. And by Logan AC and Heat Services, the official heating and cooling partner of the UD Flyers. Helping fans stay comfortable all season long. The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Now, here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And good evening, everyone. A Merry Christmas, a belated, and a preemptive Happy New Year to everyone. And welcome to another edition of the Anthony Grant Show here on the home of the Flyers, brought to you by Frickers, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits. So we're with you on Facebook Live at the WHIO Radio Facebook page, Home of the Flyers Facebook page. Also, we are live on AM 1290 and 95.7 WHIO and throughout the world on the World Wide Web. So there's no excuse not to be with us here tonight. Coach Grant with us. The fire is crackling in the fireplace behind him. He's settled in for a nice, cozy evening. And first of all, Coach, I hope you and your family had a great Christmas, and I hope your players did as well, because you gave them some time off, and I think they really appreciated that.
Yeah, we did. Hopefully, you and all our guests had a very Merry Christmas, and obviously, we look forward to the upcoming new year. But before we do that, we've got some business to take care of here with the game coming up here in a couple of days. So so our guys are all back, and I think they appreciated the little bit of time off that we had.
It seems like it was eons ago that you played Ole Miss. It was 11 days, which in college basketball, a break like that is just highly unusual. But it did give your team a chance to recharge their mental batteries. If you could look back in those last two games prior to Christmas, you had the game right before exams against Mississippi State, a double overtime victory. You have exams, which is a challenge in and of itself, and then another challenge with the game against Ole Miss, and your guys complete the trifecta. They get things done in both on the court, in the classroom. What have you learned maybe about your team when you look back at that very critical week?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, the non-conference portion of your season is where you want to try to figure your team out. And I think the one thing that we know is 2020 so far has been nothing like any of us have ever seen before. And obviously, you know, we've had to have, you know, a lot of flexibility in terms of our preparedness and who we played and just the readiness just for whatever may come your way. So for us, the last couple of weeks, getting a chance to play, you know, two Power Five teams and really with all the games we played, I felt like, you know, every game, I guess, taught us something about ourselves. Each game we played really came down to the final minute of the game, the last maybe possession of the game in some cases. So, you know, it was great to see guys step up in different situations, and then also have situations where we had a chance to get better as a team, you know, and sometimes I say this a lot, I like to learn through winning instead of losing, right? So we had several games that, you know, were kind of in the balance there and we make a play or the other team doesn't make a shot and we come out victorious. And then you look back on it, what probably a couple of things we learned is the importance of the 40-minute game, right? So everybody looks at what happens the last, you know, 10 seconds or 7 seconds, you know, and the Ole Miss game, there were several plays throughout the course of the game and really the last 4 minutes of the game, you know, in terms of either offense taking care of the ball, finding quality shots, understanding time score, or defensively, you know, from a scouting report standpoint, understanding maybe some things that they were going to do based on some things that we learned through scouting, some things we did well, some things we didn't do well. And you can go back and look at those things and say, hey, listen, here's what we did well, you know, and here's where we knew what we were supposed to do and we didn't do it. And we have to get better here. So you know, that those are always teachable moments. And we try to learn from that as we prepare for conference play here. And it'll be critical for us as we head into conference that we learned from those five games that we did get a chance to play in the non-conference.
It is such a small sample, but it's what you've got to work with. And, you know, obviously one of the things that concerned you in those five games, and perhaps is still a concern, was that your team turned the ball over, perhaps uncharacteristically. And I've been thinking about those turnovers, probably not as much as you have. But I see, and what made me think about it is I'm a big Browns fan, so I'm watching the Browns yesterday, and I'm seeing Baker Mayfield working with guys who they introduced themselves in the parking lot earlier in the morning and learned where to line up. And you saw things go awry. And I saw, looking at some of the turnovers this Dayton team had, where, okay, the guy that threw the ball, did he make the mistake? The guy that was receiving the pass, did he make the mistake? Or did they both make the mistake? And I point just to not getting enough reps and games and scrimmages and all that. Is there some validity to that?
I think that we've seen, obviously, as you mentioned, you know, the five games we've had, you know, our turnover rate has been a concern, right? And so looking at where are they coming from, and we get them from a variety of ways. Against Ole Miss, I think we had maybe two or three turnovers where we actually played really good defense, created a loose ball situation where we had possession, and, you know, they either touched it or we were the last to touch it before it went out of bounds. We got one where we had the steal. And going down the floor, you know, we put a foot on the sideline. So, you know, stuff like that. And then you have the turnovers where it's guys trying to make the right play and mistakes of commission as opposed to omission. And then you also have the ones you're talking about where they're execution, where they're just, hey, you know, play to your strength, do what we've talked about us needing to do. Don't go solo. Don't go on your own and try to make something happen where no one else is expecting you to do something that you do, and you put us in tough situations. So some of that is what you're talking about, that chemistry, guys getting used to each other, knowing where to put the ball for certain guys. It's also myself and our staff getting accustomed to putting our guys in a position where they can play to their strengths and not putting them, asking them to do things that don't allow them to play to their strengths. So that's all a part of it. I do feel like it's an area that is correctable for us, right? So I think that's something that through myself and our staff and the players and just understanding what we need to do to improve in that area and being committed to doing and being willing to pay attention understand how to avoid some of those situations, I think will help us as we approach conference play.
All right. Flyers are 4-1 as they head into conference play. And Philip is with us tonight, and he says, he's ready for league play to begin. And it starts on Wednesday with LaSalle, and then boom, right back at it Saturday afternoon against George Mason. We'll talk more about that. We'll also take a look at, you know, just kind of where this team is and building its identity and the fact that there's a lot of new faces involved in that identity moving forward. That's all to come. It is the Anthony Grant Show. It's brought to you by Frickers, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits.
The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Call now, 457-1290. Now back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And welcome back to the Anthony Grant Show, brought to you by Frickers, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits. Stop by and got some lunch there today, and it'd be a great carry-in for your stay-in New Year's Eve and all your New Year's Day football festivities. Coach Grant is with us here tonight as the Dayton Flyers enter Atlantic 10 play, 4-1 record. They'll take on LaSalle on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and then a game Saturday afternoon at 4 against George Mason. And, Coach, and obviously, you know, you feel fortunate that you got five games in, because you look at the A-10, VCU played nine, but then you've got Duquesne, St. Bonaventure only able to play two games. Fordham hasn't played a game yet. That's got to be just a horrible disadvantage for those teams.
Well, you know, it's like I said earlier, you know, 2020, I think, has posed a lot of challenges because of the pandemic. And, you know, teams have had to make some adjustments. So, yeah, you certainly feel bad for, you know, for a team like Fordham, I'm sure. You know, it's tough not to have had any games played up to this point. But hopefully, you know, as we head into conference play, you know, everybody is healthy and clear and good to start, you know, the conference season. I think some teams have actually played at least one game. I think a handful of teams have already played a conference game at this point. But certainly, you know, when you look at the fact that, as you mentioned, we have several teams that have only played, you know, maybe no more than two games up to this point, I think it speaks volumes as to what this season really is in terms of dealing with the pandemic.
All right. In this unusual year, it's impacted your roster in some positive ways, and then a negative way in which, you know, the pandemic has nothing to do with Luke Frazier having appendicitis. He had his appendix taken out during finals week. What's his status moving forward?
He's getting better. He actually is back in town, and you know, our training staff and medical staff is taking care of him. And I think the normal procedure for that is for him to go through that healing process, which he's still in the middle of. And then, you know, when he's ready to get back on the court and get active, I know he's anxious to get back, but he's there, you know, watching and cheering his teammates on in practice and you know, getting himself the treatment that he needs to make sure he gets a full recovery.
Elijah Weaver found out just literally hours before the Ole Miss game that he was good to go, and he quickly found a game jersey, put it on, and number 11 was in action for you on Saturday. And you know what? The thing that impressed me, Coach, was how he handled that, just the whole situation, and then even once he got in the game. What were your thoughts on Elijah's performance that day?
Yeah, I agree, you know, because obviously, you know, until we had talked about it, the possibility of it happening, you know, but we didn't know until like a couple hours before. And once we told him, you know, you never know what type of emotions will run through a young man playing his first game with his teammates. And they've already had a few games under their belt. And, you know, it was his first experience playing together with most of those guys, because most of the time in practice, he's on the team that's going against, you know, the starters, and that's been the way it's been most of the preseason, heading into games and then helping the team get prepared for whoever the next opponent was. So for him to be told 2 hours before the game that, hey, you're gonna get in there and you know, find a way to fit in and help the team be successful, I thought he did a pretty good job. I know his minutes, I think he got like 8 or 9 minutes, but I thought he was very, very effective and productive in those minutes. So, you know, as he gets more comfortable with his teammates and more comfortable in the role that he's playing, I think he can really help us as we move forward.
And then another new face, we saw his face on the bench in the Ole Miss game, and now we're seeing his face in practice, and he'll be a part of the roster moving forward. Mustafa Amzeel, the big guy out of Finland, has he had a couple of practices already under his belt?
Yeah, he's actually had two. You know, so we got back on the court yesterday and today, and he's done a good job. He's fitting in well. I think you know, obviously learning the system, getting comfortable with the pace and timing, all that stuff that you have to get, you know, when obviously you join a new team. And I think we also have to remember, you know, however long it's been, 7 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, that Kobe Brea was out, you know, and so he was able to rejoin us for our last game, and he's got probably maybe a handful of practices under his belt since he's been cleared to go. So you know, excited to have him back and available as well.
You know, this team we'll eventually know what its identity is. It's too early to know, but we're starting to see some things. And how important is it that this team, first of all, has its own identity? It is this team. It's not a version of last year, 2 years ago, or 2 years from now. It's founded in what are the fundamentals of Dayton basketball.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And I think that's exactly what we want this team to develop, is its own identity. And, And I think, you know, we've talked about this for several weeks now, just about how, you know, for a lot of these guys, even though they're familiar faces, even though they've been around college basketball, they're in completely different roles than they've ever been before. And you know, what we're asking them to do with new teammates, you know, you've got to grow into that. You got to get some experience under your belt and understanding, you know, how to make everybody around you successful so that the team can be successful. So we're in that process. And I think, you know, that's the thing is this team's identity. I think, you know, obviously we can look at it and see areas where we need to improve, where we need to get better. But we can also look at areas where, you know, we're doing a pretty good job as a team, and we need to be able to highlight those strengths and maximize those strengths as a team and continue to build on that.
I've been around you enough that I'm starting to use some of your vocabulary. And I know a word that's very important to you and your program, and I'm picking up on it, and that is I'm seeing trust developed within your team.
No doubt. Yeah, that's huge. I think, you know, we talk about it a lot. And I think, yeah, that it has to be organic, you know, and it has to be something that I think every good team, no matter what, if it's sports or anything that you do in life, it's the foundation of every relationship, right? And so, you know, you build that through going through stuff together, right? Through shared experiences, shared adversity, you know, your ability to be consistent where people know what to expect out of you, right? So, so I think we're in the process of learning that about each other as we you know, get ready here to start the conference play with five games under our belt. Most of the time when you have a normal conference, a non-conference season, you've got 12, 13 games where you can figure some things out, right? And so this has been shortened not only with games, but also time together on the court, time together off the court, just bonding and learning about your teammates, whether that took place in the summer or in the preseason with some things that you would normally do, team activities that, you know, under the circumstances with the pandemic, you just can't do right now. So, yeah, so all that stuff is being figured out right now by us and probably every team across the country.
You know, normally this time of year we have the conversation that, okay, coach, there's no final exams anymore. There's no classes until sometime in mid-January. Now's a chance for you to just really get back to the basics and just focus strictly on basketball. But is the current environment in which we live even impacting that?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, since we've been back, you know, the testing protocols that we have to go through to make sure, you know, we're healthy and keep our players and staff and everybody here safe and we can progress toward the season. You know, we take care of that in the mornings and we wait for results, right? And that allows us to go to the next thing, right? So it's really one day at a time, almost 1 hour at a time, to see, okay, well, where are we at? What are we able to do, and go from there? And it's the same thing as we, you know, hopefully, obviously, it's out of our control. But you hope your opponents are in a position where they can keep the schedule the way that you have it set up as well. So, So we have to learn to try to control the things we can control. And I know you hear coaches say that all the time, but this is truly one of those situations where you have to be able to do that to the best of your ability.
Yeah. In this year, this 2021 basketball season, taking games one at a time is no longer coach speak. That's just reality. And that's the reality that Dayton is facing this week. They've got a game on Wednesday. They want to play it against LaSalle to open up the A-10 season to defend their regular season title. We'll talk more about that as we continue. The Anthony Grant Show, brought to you by Frickers, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits.
The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Call now 457-1290. Now back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And good evening. Welcome again to The Anthony Grant Show here at our WHIO studios in Casa Grant. We would normally be at Frickers, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits. But not this season. But we'll be there next year. Look forward to seeing everyone in person that time around. But in the meantime, a lot of basketball to be played, and it's all A-10 basketball from here on out for the Flyers, who wrapped up the non-conference portion of their schedule 11 days ago with a win over Ole Miss at the arena, as the Flyers have bragging rights in the state of Mississippi with back-to-back wins over Mississippi State and Ole Miss out of the SEC. Getting ready for A-10 play now, and guys that have played a lot of A-10 games for you, a trio of players who were a big part of last year, and they are a big part of this year. Your backcourt of Jalen Crutcher, Rodney Chapman, and I throw Ibby Watson in there as well. How well are they playing right now, not just individually, but how well are they playing together?
Yeah, I think they're figuring it out, you know, and obviously, you know, for those three, as you mentioned, they bring a level of experience with what they did last year together, you know, but they're playing with some new guys and making those adjustments. I feel like there's room, you know, for those guys to continue to grow and get better and gel together with one another and with their teammates as well. And I think once we can hit, you know, that stride for them as our leaders, I think that can help take our team to another level.
You know, this team has shown some grit, and I think those three guys at times have personified that. And going back to that Ole Miss game, what did Rodney Chapman do to impose his will on that game, particularly to start the second half?
Yeah, I think it was a lot. You know, obviously, you know, you can look at, you know, the stat sheet, and I think he ended up maybe with, you know, 4 or 5 steals in the game, and obviously from a scoring standpoint. But I think the things that we've always talked about, Larry, that don't show up on a stat sheet, you know, just his ability to be disruptive in terms of, you know, what the other team is trying to accomplish, and making it difficult for whoever he's the primary defender on. To just not have a typical night that you expect out of that player based on, you know, the accolades they come into the game with. So I think his ability to be disruptive and then, you know, also, you know, be a guy, as he demonstrated the other night, that can also provide an offensive spark for you. And we needed it. You know, obviously Ole Miss, we talked about this going into the game. You know, I think their defense is one of the best that we've seen this year, and I think it's one of the best in the country. And so we knew that we would have, you know, we would need some guys to step up and be able to make plays when they took away our ability to run plays. And I thought Rodney did a really good job of being aggressive and initiating some of that along with several other guys.
Looking back just one last time at the non-conference before we really get into looking ahead towards A-10 play, the totality of those 5 games, and you played a very good defensive team in Ole Miss. I thought SMU was a very good defensive team in a different way with their interior length. And then you had that massive size of Mississippi State, an NKU team that got very physical with you. All of these, does this add up to the kind of ways in which you want to be tested prior to your conference play?
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, you know, we'll see several very, very good to elite defensive teams within the league. You know, and I got certainly a healthy respect for everybody that will play. This team that will play in a couple of days, I think defensively they get after you. You know, and I think it's a deep team. Offensively, they're gifted as well. When you look at their numbers and what the way they're shooting the basketball as a team, they're very impressive. So I think throughout the conference season, we'll certainly see, you know, a lot of the ability that we saw in the non-conference in terms of teams' ability to be disruptive and you know, defensively take you out of some things that you want to do. So we've got to be on point and make sure that we understand how to execute and how to take care of the ball and do the things that will lead to us being able to have success.
Looking at the A-10 in general, it appears just on paper, and that's, you know, I haven't had a chance to watch a lot of games, but looking at the outcomes and looking at personnel and how they're performing, it appears so far that the league is kind of acting like the back of their baseball card. I mean, they are who they are, and the people that everyone anticipated, myself included, and you and your staff that thought were going to be good, Well, they've been true to form so far.
Yeah, I agree. I think the teams that were anticipated to be good have been really good, and maybe some teams that people thought, hey, I'm not quite sure, have stepped up, and at least maybe the overall record doesn't show it, but when you look at the quality of competition and the way some of the games have played out, even maybe our league didn't come out on the winning end of all of those games, but the competitive nature of the game, I think this is making for a really, really good conference season from top to bottom. I'm excited about the what our league was able to show in the non-conference as we head into conference.
Got a question. One of the people watching on Facebook Live, Sandy, wants to know about the gap between games affecting teams kind of getting in their rhythm or their groove, if you will. You look back since December 5th, you played Mississippi State. Your next game is December 30th, just two games in that entire time period. Is that a challenge?
I think every year, we always worry about, typically we'll have, 3 to 4 day gap there. And every coach will tell you, he's always worried about how the team will come back. Then every coach will tell you they're worried about how many, playing too many games in a row. And so as coaches, we're always going to worry. We're always going to find something to worry about, So certainly, is it ideal to have, 11, 12 days in between games? Certainly not, but I think in terms of like what we spoke about before, just the mental health, the ability to see family. I think it's like 150 days that the guys were here on campus, but since they've actually been able to go home and even see some family, so I think the benefit far outweighs the concern of, too big of a gap in between games. And my job as a coach is to make sure our guys are ready and prepared, and I ask our guys to understand what we have to do as we head into conference play. So that's why they play the games, right? And we'll see. The game will be decided in between the lines, and hopefully our guys will be ready for the task, and we'll be able to play our best basketball as we head into conference.
Yeah, I think if you ask players, you can never play too many games. And then they probably say you can't have too few practices, but they like playing the games. And I know, talking to guys that go play overseas, one of the adjustments for them initially is that they're just not playing as much. They're playing like once a week, and they want to play.
Yeah. I haven't met a player yet that they'd rather practice than play games. I think they'd all like to play games. So we'll get in hopefully a nice rhythm here, with the conference starting. But again, we have to have that caveat that it is the 2021 season, and we'll take it one game at a time.
All right.
And try to prepare as best we can.
All right. With apologies to Allen Iverson, we will no longer talk about practice. We're going to talk about the next game, and that's LaSalle coming up on Wednesday. More to come on the Anthony Grant Show here on the Home of the Flyers, and it's brought to you by your home of fun food, sports, and spirits, Frickers.
The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO. Call now, 457-1290. Now back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
Hey, welcome back here to the Anthony Grant Show, our final in calendar year 2020. That kind of has a good feel to it. And we will not have a show next Monday. Coach Grant will be on the road with the team going to the Bronx for that Tuesday, January 5th game against Fordham. We'll be back here broadcasting that game remotely, but no Anthony Grant Show next Monday. This will be our final one for 2020. I know a lot of you... And I'm very thankful to all those of you who purchased copies of my book, Bigger Than Basketball, The Dayton Flyers' Greatest Season, as a Christmas present. I know also some of you disappointed they couldn't get it in time for Christmas, but it is still available on Amazon, and we'll have announcements here shortly about retail locations that you can pick up copies as well. We got a question came in watching us on Facebook Live from Dave, and it was asking about your coaching staff. And do you Do you hand out specific territories, or you know they concentrate on a certain part of the country, or is it based upon their previous contacts? How do you go about doing that?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think a lot of staffs do that where they carve out certain territories for guys. I've just never really been a really big on certain territories. Certainly, you have guys that either from previous coaching stops or where they're from have certain connections. But I think the way the game is now and the relationships, guys have, you know, relationships really all over the country and really all over the world in today's game. So to me, it's more about the relationships than it is with a certain territory. So our guys have done a really good job of partnering with each other, you know, and we've talked about this from just our recruiting class this past year. And this has been the case really in every year that we've been here, where you see a guy that may, you know, recruit a kid and find out that someone else in our staff has a relationship with someone that the kid is familiar with. And so guys working together, you know, so that Dayton can be successful in terms of our efforts to recruit guys. I think our staff, that's one of the strengths of our guys, is that they do a great job of partnering with each other and leaning on each other to help through that process. And I think it's paid dividends for us. And I think it's one of the strengths that this group has.
Patrick has a question about chemistry, which we'll get to. But first, with talking about chemistry, does chemistry begin with the staff?
No question, right? Leadership, it's doesn't trickle up, right? It trickles down. So, yeah. So I think our guys, staff wise, set the tone. Our support staff, our veterans, our young guys. I think it's a culture that we try to create, and that certainly starts with us as the coaches, and really we're fortunate that it really permeates throughout the entire athletic department, throughout the university, you know, from President Spina to Neil Sullivan to the athletic staff, our academic support staff, our trainers and medical staff. Like we're really fortunate at Dayton that it's a unified front, and everybody is trying to do the best they can to make sure that our student athletes and the university is as successful as possible.
So Patrick's question is about the current players. And let me ask you this, you know, for the guys who've not played a lot of minutes for you, in a case, even a couple who've yet to set foot on the floor, how do you keep them engaged and feeling as much a part of this team as a Jalen or an Ibby?
Well, because they are, you know, and I think, you know, that's a tribute to who these guys are as people. They understand at the end of the day that this is a process, right? It's not, you don't just walk in knowing, you know, some of the veterans that we had coming back and the situation that there would be a learning curve and there would be a process to what we've had. And especially because of, again, we talked about it a lot, but because of the situation with 2020-21, right, with the pandemic and maybe some things that we didn't get a chance to do throughout the summer and throughout the preseason. So specifically the guys that you mentioned that maybe hadn't played as much, understand that process for them is ongoing. And I anticipate, you know, as we kind of continue to move forward with the season, you know, those guys are going to, their roles will increase. I believe that. I think these guys will end up being very valuable, you know, to this team in terms of trying to reach that goal of winning an A-10 championship and having a chance to play in the postseason.
With a healthy Kobe and a soon-to-be healthy Luke and Elijah eligible and chomping at the bit, and then Mustafa now, another body there in practice, is this going to just make your practices that much better? And in turn, does that develop chemistry?
Well, that's the plan. You know, I think that's the plan, and that's something that we really haven't had in any consistency with throughout the preseason and even throughout non-conferences. Just availability of guys to be able to go out there and do what you talked about, to to use practice as a way to build that chemistry and familiarity and to do the things that you need to do when you face outside competition. So, yeah, I think we're about as healthy as we've been up to this point. So now it's just we got to develop that consistency and that chemistry and all the other things. And I think just in terms of guys' willingness to and ability to understand that, I think guys are in a really good place with that.
Robin gave us a question about playing in the arena. I mean, it still feels weird walking into the arena now and the game day atmosphere that it is. I guess I'll get used to it. What's it been like for you, your staff, and your players?
It's different, and I'll be the first to tell you, I don't want to get used to it. Right. We're gonna obviously do what we have to do in this different year. But hopefully my hope is that, as we go through maybe even the course of this season, that we'll be able to get more fans in, if we can slow the spread of this thing I'm excited that there are some vaccines that are coming online and becoming available, and then hopefully it'll continue to get better. But certainly right now it is quite different, being in UD Arena, as a former player, a fan, and now a coach, it's a different feel in the arena. But certainly the people that have been able to get in have made their voices felt. We appreciate it. I think Neil and the staff at the arena have done a tremendous job of trying to create a home court environment in there for our guys. But I think you look across the country, it's kind of what most people are dealing with. I did see a game the other day. I was shocked at how many people were in the stands, I'll admit. But for the most part, it's what we'll see during the 2021 season.
Yeah, how is that? I mean, I find myself the same way. I see an event and there's a lot of people and I'm like, oh, what's going on? That looks weird. Yeah.
It's weird to see a fan base. It's different. But I think that tells us all we need to know about 2020-21.
Well, I tell you what, those fans that have been allowed to come in have done a heck of a job. I think maybe the fans that are able to go to the games understand with that privilege comes a responsibility. And so they cannot passively just sit back and put their feet up and enjoy a beverage and watch the game. They've got to be part of it.
No question. And that's what Dayton fans have always been about. And I don't see it changing anytime soon.
All right. I know you haven't had really a chance to look at George Mason yet, but that is a game that's coming up for you on Saturday. And last year's A-10 run, you were 18-0, and if someone didn't know better, they'd think it was easy. And it was far from that. Every game was a grind. And does that prepare you and your players to be ready to grind again?
Well, this is a different team, and I think that's the thing we all have to understand. Like, this team has not won a championship. They've not played a league game yet, so we're going to take it one game at a time. And I think, If I would compare anything, I'd say one of the strengths of our team last year was the ability to take it one game at a time and focus on the task at hand. And I think that's what this team has to be able to do with the uncertainty, right? So our focus right now is on LaSalle, trying to make sure that as coaches and as players, we're as prepared as we can be to put ourselves in position to get a win. And then we'll take the next game as it comes and try to make sure our full attention is where it should be, not on last year, not on, what's going to happen, 3 or 4 days from now, but on the things we can control. And that's going to be the opponent in front of us, and understanding that this group hasn't been through it yet. This is their first time going through this. And, we're going to try to be as prepared as we can.
All right, one final question for you, Coach. We give a shout-out first to Cameron, who's home recovering from COVID. We wish him a speedy recovery and hopefully have him be able to be back at the arena for a game down the road. But your point of emphasis to be a better team Wednesday against LaSalle, to be a victorious team than you were a day ago.
Say that again now.
So what would be your point of emphasis to be a better team on Wednesday than you were a day ago?
One day at a time. You know, we need to make sure that we do everything we can between now and our game Saturday to make sure we're as prepared as we can be. And that's really controlling everything we can control, right? Just in terms of, what we do in preparation tonight to get prepared for practice tomorrow, to be locked into practice tomorrow, to use that day to try to get better and try to get prepared, and then be ready to execute and be at our best come game day. You know, and it's really, rinse and repeat from there, one day at a time.
All right, Coach. Well, that'll wrap up the final Anthony Grant Show for 2020 as the Dayton Flyers open up A-10 play this week. 7 o'clock game Wednesday night against LaSalle. A 4:30 game Saturday afternoon against George Mason. Both those games right here on the home of the Flyers. The coach will be traveling with the team next Monday, but we'll have games for you that week at Fordham, at Davidson. For now, that wraps it up in 2020 on the Anthony Grant Show. Happy New Year, everyone. On behalf of Frickers, your home of fun food, sports, and spirits, and go Flyers.
WHIO Dayton, WHIO FM Pleasant Hill, a Cox Media Group station from the CJSHeatingAndAir.com studios. You call, we come. It's fixed.